Well, I wanted to speak this morning about the furnace of God's refining, something we're all a little bit familiar with. I'd like us to start with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord. Just thank you that we can be here together, that we come to honor you, Lord. The only thing we want to do here today is to glorify Jesus Christ. Whatever is said, Lord, the deeds that are done, the food that we eat, it's all because of you, Jesus. I just ask you that you would bring forth what you want brought forth, and that you would just use a humble vessel, that what you would like them to hear, that it would be something that would help them to grow, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I leave it all in God's hands. It's his business now. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So what I really want to talk about this morning is the meal offering. You know, I know the offerings seem kind of, we don't hear a lot about the offerings, but the offerings are truly wonderful. You know, like I said, what I was always taught was that the new and the old contain, and the old and the new explained. And what God gave them for offerings, they didn't understand like you and I do what those offerings meant. And why God said, I'm telling you how I want you to do the offering, and I want it done down to the last iota. You don't change anything. So God is obviously OCD. He is a control freak. No. Everything about those offerings pointed to his son, Jesus, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And by the way, even in Revelation, when they say, who can open the book? The Lamb of God can open the book. Those sacrifices pointed to Jesus, and everything they did, every spice they put on it, the amount of fire, the pieces that were to be thrown away from those animals, the pieces that were to be kept, how the blood was to be taken care of, all of it pointed to Jesus Christ. And everything we read about in Scripture points to Jesus Christ. When we follow Jesus, when we walk as dear children of God, what was his name on earth? The Son of Man and the Son of God. When you have Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. Do you understand that? You're not just born again. You are a son of God. That's powerful. Do you wonder why the enemy comes against you? Do you ever wonder why God allows the enemy to come against you? Why did he allow the enemy to do to his son what he allowed? Satan knew he could never touch his divinity. Satan knows he can never touch your eternal life. Do you understand that? He cannot touch, once you have accepted Christ, he cannot take it. But he wants to try to make your life miserable. He wants to keep you from living for the Lord so that nobody else smells the sweet savor of Jesus Christ. And so he came against Jesus, God's own son. Satan came against him. Do you think he'll come against you? He most certainly will. Why? Because you have Jesus in you. A sweet savor. You know, the Gospels, and if I get this wrong, forgive me. But they all portrayed Jesus in one way or another. But Matthew was the trespass offering. Mark was the sin offering. Luke was the peace offering. John was the burnt offering. But in all of those was also the meal offering. Because in all of them, it was the life that Christ lived down here. Why couldn't Christ just come down here as a human being who walked out of the desert that no one knew where he came from? He still could have come as a man, right? And died on the cross, sinless. I came as a man. I died on the cross. That's it. That's all that was needed. Why in the world would God put his son through what he did? Lying plots against him. Everywhere he went, people were trying to kill him and stone him. He would do wonderful, mighty deeds, and the next day they forgot all about it. His own disciples, they couldn't understand he was going to die on the cross. That was part of God's furnace for his son. They said, you won't have to die. He says, how many times do I have to tell you and get it through your thick skull? That's why I came. If I don't come and die, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And all those in the Old Testament that were waiting in Upper Sheol, they can never leave. I came to die. But why did he have to live the life he lived? As the great example. The Son of God, always God, became a man. Without sin, sin is what is the temptation for you and I. You know, the Spirit is willing. We want to serve God. The problem is the trouble that comes from serving God. That's what stops us. So he sent his son. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, what does it say? Let this mind be in you. He doesn't say, I'm going to tell you the mind of Christ. No, he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who being in the form of God. What is he talking about? A form is an outward expression of an inward reality. He was God, and yet he was man. You and I are man, and yet we have God in us. Why do I say that? If you've got Jesus, you've got God. And if you've got Jesus, you belong to God. Did he ever, ever not take care of his son? There was one spot, though. No matter what we are asked to suffer for the Lord, we will never have to ever say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus did that. And he had to suffer 3 hours where the Father could not look on him because of my sin. Make it personal. It was my sin on him. And he said, I can't look at his sin on my son. I must turn away. For 3 hours, Jesus, for the first time in all eternity past, was separated from the Father. And why? You and me. You and me. All the suffering he had on this earth, why? You and me. Let that mind be in you who was willing to come down here and say, I will leave my divinity. He used his mighty power to heal. He only used it to show people the power of God, but he never used it to create a house for himself. He could have. He spoke the world in existence. He said, I want a castle. That's where I'm going to sleep tonight. Nope, he said, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but I got nowhere to lay my head. He didn't do that. He used his power to show and glorify his Father. And for everything else, he relied on God. And do you and I think that we're going to attain anything, give any glory to God if we don't allow God that same place in our life? Jesus was willing to do it. He came down here and lived a life that you and I, we wouldn't want to live right now. But why would he do it? Just to show that he could do it? He wanted to show that he wanted to identify with us in our human existence. This is Jesus. And he was a sweet-smelling savior. And Paul tells these Ephesian saints, be a sweet-smelling savior. You know, in Sunday school, he warned them about what he had done for them. What do we see in Revelations had happened to that dear church? Not all of them heeded the warning, did they? Paul is telling that same church right here that we talked about in Acts chapter 20, verses 27 through 30 this morning in Sunday school, that same church that he warned, he's telling them here, I want you to walk as a sweet savor, meaning what? I want you to walk as Jesus would walk. And that will be a sweet-smelling savior. But if you do that, the Lord And this is what we're going to get to in the offerings. The Lord had certain things that brought the sweet-smelling savor out in Jesus. And you and I are going to have to do the same. Paul said in Colossians 1:24, there is just a small part of the cup of Jesus' sufferings that are left for you and I. Will we partake in it? Peter says, where am I going to be in heaven? He goes, can you drink of my cup, Peter? Can you drink of it? As a child of God, we can drink of it. And he wants us to drink of it. Because through the sufferings we go through for the Lord, not sufferings in this world, not sufferings because I make bad decisions. I'm talking about when we suffer as a Christian. God will do a mighty work in our lives, just as he did his son. And his son, though he was forsaken for 3 hours, has promised us a great promise. I will never leave nor forsake you. Why? Because I walked as a sweet savor on this earth. How wonderful it is. Jesus, that name of Jesus, the name above every name, that's why it's the name above every name. Because he did something that no other religious figure ever did. He came down from Godhead to identify with us on a human level and pay such a price for us. And he did it willingly. And this is what Paul is asking for. Let us turn over to Leviticus chapter 2. I know we don't, Leviticus is one that don't, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 2, verse 1, and when any will offer a meal offering, it says meat offering, but it should be meal offering, unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil upon it, put frankincense, and that's frankincense, not Frankenstein. I remember when the kids used to have this, they have the Christmas program, they say, what did they bring Jesus? Gold, myrrh, and Frankenstein. No, frankincense, put it upon, and look at verse 11. No meal offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. We see here that this is meal offering required fire. What does fire do? It refines. It purifies. There had to be fire. Without fire, it could not be purified. Peter told them, I want you to know that though you are going through manifold temptations and trials right now, I want you to know one thing. God sees it, and it's so that your faith will be tried and be pure as gold tried in the fire. Gold that is tried in the fire, then all the dross comes up, they get that, and now you've got pure gold. And it says that when gold is pure, 100% pure, you can look in it and see your reflection, and that's what God wants to do. The fire of God's refining is to bring out to where he sees his son in us. That's what he wants. And if he can see his son in us, I guarantee you, those around you can see his son. That's what he wants. And you know what happens when you're a light? Here come the flies. Here come the bugs. They're going to come. Poor old Job. He thought he was doing great. I'm serving the Lord. I give what I'm supposed to give. If I see somebody in need, I give it to them. I'm doing the right things. I'm sitting high and pretty. And then all of a sudden, not this is happening behind his back up in heaven. Satan's going, yeah, you know, Job, he can do those things because you've made him rich. If he wasn't wealthy, why, he wouldn't do any of those things. So that got taken away. He says, you know what? That's still not enough. So God said, fine. And he brought some terrible sufferings into Job's life. Now, I want you to remember one thing. The enemy could only go so far. He said, you cannot touch his life. You know, no matter what befalls us, God sets the parameters of what the enemy does. He sometimes uses the enemy to purify our life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a furnace. What was their reply when he said, you worship me? And they go, we're not careful to answer you. In other words, I don't have to give this any thought at all. We will not do it. Our Lord will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship that statue. We're not going to. And what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He got so mad, he told him to heat it up so hot that it was killing the people that were heating it up. This is our enemy. How dare them be so insolent, say that even if our God chooses to let them be a martyr, I'm still not going to do it because it is wrong. That was a sweet savor. Fox's Book of Martyrs, that whole book is about people who said, I count not my life dear. How's this going to come? The Holy Spirit's medium is the Word of God. When we hear God's Word, that is how God works. No matter how we hear it, a song, something on the radio, through the Bible, but that is the medium of the Holy Spirit. Turn over, keep your place in Leviticus, because we will come back to it. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Our Lord knew what that furnace was. In Hebrews chapter 5, we have something here that's kind of hard for us to grasp. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, or that he was reverenced. Does this mean that Jesus was saying, please, don't let me die? No. In John 12, 27, he says, "What am I not supposed to? That's what I came here for. That's why I'm here." That's not it at all. But as a man, Jesus knew what was facing him. He was truly made a man. When they pierced his hands, he has all the nerves that you and I have. Jeff just went through a thing for his hands. He has all of those things. He knew what it was to be tired. He knew what it was to hurt from walking. He knew all of those things. He indeed was a man who trusted the Father for everything. And he sees this coming. And it's repulsive to him as a man. He came here to do it, and he's going to do it, right? In Luke, he prayed, if there be any other way. If we can accomplish your plan, Father, is there any other way that we can do it and not have to do what we're going to go through? No, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Jesus didn't question it. Here, he prayed and he was heard. What's he really praying here? I'm going to give it. I'm going to go through it. And I want to make sure I am raised the third day. And he was heard. He rose again the third day. I have the power to give it. I have the power to take it. He cried out to God. I'm getting ready to do this. This plan is going to happen. He was reverential to the Father, even though as God, he was equal to the Father. You and I hear this word, and sometimes we forget. If something is going on in our lives that we don't understand, we think God has forgotten us. Jesus cried out in his agony, but he knew God hadn't forgotten him. But in his human form, when we pray to Jesus, we pray to one who knows our suffering. That wonderful meal offering knows what it is to be a human being and to suffer. He entered into it with us. When we pray in the powerful name of Jesus, we're going to one who understands. Father, I know what they're going through. I've been through it. I've seen it. I was there amongst them. I know what they're going through. They need help. The powerful name of Jesus brings that help. Look at verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Is there something Jesus didn't know? He was God. He came down here. He had to learn as a human being. He was going to have to give himself over to this. What do you and I have to learn if we want to serve the Lord? If we want to, and this is no pie in the sky stuff. This is just living a life that glorifies God. It don't mean you're walking around with a cross like this everywhere you go. It means your life glorifies God. But we learn if we're going to do that, then there will be suffering to help me to do it better. May I tell you that the greatest lessons I ever learned involved suffering. Spoiled children, they don't suffer. So what happens? They never learn the hard lessons. They wait till they get out there, and then the law teaches them the hard lessons. Don't you see? Even in this natural world, we learn through the things we suffer, and for the Lord, it's no different. But there's one thing that's different. We suffer for the Lord. It is for the glory of God. And oh, he has promised. Remember, he tells us in Hebrews that you got to believe when he says, I will reward you. You got to believe he's going to reward you. It will be worth it all. How many people say, when I get to heaven, I got some questions for Jesus? When we see him face to face, there'll be no questions. We'll see Jesus, and it won't matter anymore. Because we're going to see that face, and then it won't matter. It will all be worth it. But he learned by obedience the things which he suffered. And the things he suffered in the flesh, what did it do in verse 9? It made him a perfect sacrifice. Was he perfect the day he was born? That baby could have been. Why was he perfect? Because he had to enter into what you and I are. Without sin, but everything else, he knows exactly what it is. The sorrow, the pain, the frustration, the humiliation, all the things we go through, Jesus understands. As we age and our bodies become our enemy, Jesus knew what it was like to be weak. He gave himself to those soldiers. He knew what it was like. Could he carry that cross? The Son of God allowed himself to be in a body that was so reeked with pain, he could not carry that cross. He needed help. When you cry out to you and to God in your weakness, whatever it is, Jesus understands. He learned it by coming down here with us. And how are we going to learn that Jesus is faithful? Well, then we must obey as Jesus obeyed and walk in love as a dear child of God, as Paul started out there. Okay, so let's go back to Leviticus. Having said that, go back to Leviticus, and let's just see some of the things that we see here. The fine flour. That is flour that is beaten down, ground and ground and ground and ground. It is fine flour. All the things that Jesus suffered, ground down that humanity, and yet he still honored God and was obedient. You know, we talked about this morning about when they made that golden calf. How did God get rid of that golden calf? He had him ground that calf down into powder. And do you know that when gold gets in a colloidal form, or by colloidal means super fine powder, and you add water, do you know what color it turns? Red. Red. Don't you see, there's no sin too great that God won't forgive because of Jesus. The fine flour. He took all that on himself. So when we cry out, I've made a mistake, I've just messed my whole life up. No, Jesus is still there. We may deal with the consequences, but Jesus is there to help us. Even what they did, he said, put it in the water, now drink of it. What were they doing? They didn't understand why God made them do it. You and I understand. He's looking at his son. That's why he didn't strike them all dead. That's why anyone survives. Because Jesus, God always saw that Jesus was going to come and redeem this world after it fell. How wonderful. Why do we not trust God? Because we don't like to suffer. That's why. And our sinful flesh says, if I'm suffering, something is wrong. We suffer for things we want every day. If we want a car, we'll suffer working and saving to get that car. If we want to be a great athlete, what do? They suffer and do what they need to be a great athlete. We suffer every day for what we want. So what does God want to do when we become a child of God? Change what we want. I want to be more like Jesus, and it will require fine flour. I will have to let him grind me a little bit. I don't understand it, but that's necessary. I understand discipline that I got when I was a child. I did not understand discipline when I was a child. I don't care how much it was explained to me. All I knew was I took a beating. You got something more to tell me? Oh, this is for my good? Fine, it's for my good. Now I realize it was for my good. God's got a greater good than you and I can ever think of. Don't question the one who sent his own son to die for us. What else do we have here? The oil. We've already said that is the oil is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the medium. The Word of God is the medium through which the Holy Spirit works. The Word must go forth. And as we had this morning again, it must be the uncompromised Word of God to get the full power of the Holy Spirit in our life. The Spirit can work even as long as, you know, Paul had to deal with people preaching in contention. Preaching just because they wanted the glory that they perceived that Paul was getting. And you know what Paul said? As long as they're preaching Christ, that's fine with me. That don't hurt my feelings. Amen. The disciples saw people. Jesus said, if they're not against us, then they're for us. That's quite an attitude to have. The Word of God is the medium of the Holy Spirit. And then we need to be filled not only with the Word of God, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Then it is amazing what can happen. They can take dear old cowardly Peter, who denied the Lord, cursed at them for saying they knew the Lord, heard that crow, how that must have just pierced his soul. Remember, this all happened the same night. And then Jesus had to go get him because he went and was naked in a boat fishing. John had to go, it's the master. He jumps into the water. The Lord takes him aside. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, he's preaching a sermon and 3,000 people get saved. What was the difference between saved Peter before, who was a coward, and saved Peter afterwards? The power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, this is the medium of it. Pour oil upon it and frankincense. Frankincense is just, it's an odor. But any of you have ever studied any of these? How do you get the odor from frankincense? They pound it and pound it and pound it. That's the only way. Don't you see how these wonderful offerings show Jesus? Jesus was pounded on his whole existence. He said, they hated me without a cause. Name something I've done wrong. I'll admit to it. Tell me, what have I done? I've helped the poor. I've fed the hungry. I've healed the sick. What have I done wrong? They couldn't say anything. They hated him because he was good. They hated him because he was something they were not, compassionate, loving. Jesus could talk to a Pharisee and talk to the worst sinner and have the power to reach both of them. They didn't know how to do that. And so therefore, they hated him. If you're going to live a life that glorifies God, I'm here to tell you, it'll bring separation because they're going to hate you. Actually, they don't hate you. They hate Jesus in you. That you dare to show. This is why the enemy attacks our flesh when we have an opportunity to let our light shine. And what is our first thought? I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to look like a fool if I do that, if I say that. They're going to think I'm a religious nut. Don't you think? You think you're the first that ever thought that? But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we say, it is for God's glory. Let them think of me what they will. When Paul said, I don't count my life, he says, my life is not so important at the end of time. I've got a soul for all eternity. What do I want to be for all eternity? I don't want to be a babe. I want to be a full-grown saint who serves the Lord, that when I look at Jesus, I can say, I did the best I could. I let you use me to the best of my ability. That's what we want, because we will see Jesus face to face. We will see him, and there will be no questions. There'll be no pretense. The scriptures, the gospels are full of, though it was when they looked Jesus in the face, they knew they were being stared at into their soul. Pilate himself looks at him, and he goes, there's nothing wrong with this guy. There's nothing wrong with him. But he didn't have the backbone to let him go. But that was God's plan. So when you're going to suffer for doing good, remember, it don't mean you've done something wrong. It was God's plan. And you do have this precious promise. I will not make you suffer more than you can bear. Now, how much can you bear? I've read a lot of history books. And one thing that most of those soldiers, I've read books on Hamburger Hill in Vietnam. These Marines were just green Marines. And yet, when the time came, for 3 weeks, they were without food. They fought up a hill. And he goes, I didn't know I had it in me. You know, you got something great in you. You are able to serve the Lord because you've got Christ in you. But we don't know how much we can serve. We must let him show it to us how much we can serve. With the knowledge of knowing our loving Father would never put anything on me that wasn't for my good, and it's more than I can handle. I have to remember that. No matter how unpleasant, my glorious Father has told me in his word, he won't put something on me that I can't handle or will make a way of escape. He promises that to us. We must take him at his word. Turn down to verse 11. No meal offering which he shall bring. And remember now, this is talking about our dear Lord, shall be made with leaven. What does leaven do when it gets in bread? Just blows up. I used to accuse grandma she made bread just so she could get her aggression out. Because when I'd go in there, she's pounding that bread like crazy. She looks like a boxer when they're doing the thing. She's like, pow, pow, pow. And I said, what's the matter, grandma? Did grandpa upset you this morning? She's pounding that bread. The only way you can get the leaven out if it gets in is pound it down to size. And salt. Put a little salt on it. What is the salt? The salt of God's word. No leaven. What did we have again this morning? It must be the pure, uncompromised word of God. No leaven. Amen. Because a little leaven just leavens the whole lump. It takes very little to do it. I've seen Angie make bread, and sometimes it just ends up flying over the pot and everything else. Too much leaven. Dear ones, when he's talking here about this offering, he told them absolutely, positively, no leaven. And Paul explains why. Because it is error. Do you think those Israelites understood why no leaven? It'd be more bread. Doesn't it make sense? It'd go farther. Let's add leaven. It'll go farther. The Lord must have made a mistake. We add leaven, this thing's going to go a lot farther. No. God will provide the increase. This is reflecting his dear son, and there can be no leaven. What's the other thing there? No honey. That's a tough one for us. What's that mean? That is the sweetness of human fellowship. Jesus died. All the disciples forsook him. Jesus died. His mother was at the cross. She's looking at her son. She knows why he came. And yet, there she is looking at him up there on the cross. But yet, that human tenderness could not stop him. It's for her, too, that he had to die. There is no Holy Mother of Mary. Jesus had to die for Mary. That couldn't stop him. The disciples were hanging around in different places as he was crucified. They didn't come to his defense when he was being beaten, but they were hanging around. Jesus had loved them. It says in John 13, he loved them to the end. They were his. But that human relationship could not stop him from dying for the whole world. They would have stopped him. You and I, don't see, the suffering repels us. No, no, you can't die. You won't die. You don't have to die. You're God. You don't have to. He goes, I have to die. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be humiliated, and I have to do it. And they, in their human love, would have tried to stop Jesus. And don't you see that in our lives, if we're going to serve the Lord, many times it brings separation within our own families. Not all of our family will go along. They choose their own way. And now all of a sudden, now you've got a dividing point. Am I going to serve the Lord, or am I going to keep my family members to where they're happy with me? No honey was in the meal offering. Though there has been nobody who loved as Jesus loved, it could not keep him from going to the cross. And the same for you and I. If we want the best he has, what did he say against the church at Ephesus? Many wonderful things, but I have one thing against you. You left your first love. What was their first love? They just loved Jesus for what he was. They had left that. Though they were still doing wonderful things, they'd left that. And he says, return to your first love, and then you'll have preeminent love brings preeminent works. Don't you see? Honey, no honey. We have to serve the Lord, even if it brings separation from those that we love. So in closing, let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Very familiar verse, but how often we need to read it just to remind ourselves. You know, just like, you know, you got the songs. I remember Billy Joel had a song, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. That's a perception of the world. Why do I want to do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because 80 years on this planet is like a blade of grass one summer, and it's gone. I can't believe that I'm 59. I remember when I was in high school and we'd have the prom, they'd have people come that were 25 and we'd be making fun of the old people. And now I see the graduating pictures and I look at them, I go, they're babies. What's the matter with them? They're babies. They're not ready to go out into this world. This life is short. Can seem long at times, but it's short. God wants us to remember we have eternity. We're not animals. Animals are here. Oh, we love them. But then they die. Where do they go? Into the ground. It's done. It's over. But a human has a soul that will last forever. Where will that forever be? Peter had to warn him. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, what is beloved? Divinely loved. He had to start out this little section by saying, you know what? I know you're going through tough things, but you are divinely loved of God. Why do you have a talk with your children after you've had to discipline them? Because if nothing else, you want to show them you love them. That it's not anger. I must do, you know, if you love them, it indeed hurts you more than it hurts them. God is not pleased in what he has to, but he says, I'm pleased in what will bring out in you if you'll trust me. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something strange, some alien thing happened in your life. Why did this happen? We're on the way to church this morning, and I noticed the gauge isn't going up on the heater thing. I go, what's going on? Well, now I'm going to have to fix the thermostat on this piece of junk. I just worked on it. It's not a strange thing. That's the nature of the beast of a car. And the nature of the beast when you are a child of God and want to serve the Lord, don't think it's strange when things are going to happen in your life and the only reason it's happening is to bring us closer to God. You know of what I say is true. He warned Israel, when you go into the land and then you're going to have this land of plenty, you're going to be living large, don't forget me. What do we got in America? No, I'm not comparing America to Israel, but I'm just saying we are a nation that has sent the gospel all over the world. We are a nation built on the Bible. And as we have become more fluent, what has happened to God? Out the window. We don't need that. We got the welfare state. Don't you see? It's as if some strange thing, and God, who is not willing that any perish, he brings things into this world to get our attention. Don't not strange a fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. Why? That God loves you enough that he wants to make you better. That God loves you enough that he wants to bring Christ out in your life if you'll let him. Rejoice in that. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. How wonderful that is. In Psalms 66:10, David said, you've tried me like silver. And David had been put into the fire, some of his own doing, and some of it simply because he trusted the Lord. But in verse 16, he says, and I'm going to declare to everybody what God has done for me. He says, I know every trial I went through, every fire I endured, you brought me through and you made me better for it. David could say that. David went through some bad things, but he could say that. Can we say that? That the Lord is good? In 2 Corinthians 6:10, it says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Can we do that? Going through hard things, but saying, I know the Lord is going to take care of me. Somehow, where there is no way, he'll make a way. As poor, yet making many rich. No matter what is going on in our life, are we still reflecting Christ? When we're down and out, that's when it's hard to be a Christian. That's when it's hard to reflect Christ. As having nothing, yet we possess everything. Why? Because we have Christ. If we have Christ, we have everything. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. See, he's not saying this has anything to do with things that bad mistakes or sinful actions. He goes, that's, you know that. That's going to happen. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And we must take this to heart. No matter what happened, our Lord Jesus always showed compassion. There was a thief hanging there with him. And the one thief's making fun of him. He says, if you're God, come down from there. Prove to us who you are. Right to the end, he had somebody sticking the thumb in his side. But on the other side is this one saying, don't you see he's innocent? Don't you see he don't belong up here? Can't you see there's something different about this man? And he turns to Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, suffering, everything he'd been through the previous 24 hours, could say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There is nothing that our Lord will not answer. He was there to answer his request. Our Lord took care of his mother hanging on the cross. How compassionate was he even when he was suffering? He gave his mother's into John's care. What did he do while they were gawking at him, making fun of him, spitting on him, as he looked down and they were gambling for his robes? He looked up to heaven and said, Father, strike them down. I just want to see one or two of them feel your wrath. Could you do that for me? What we would have said, right? Can I just do one of them, Lord? Father, can I just do one of them? What'd he say? Father, forgive them. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand it. And yet he was willing to do it. He asked us to serve him, even when we don't understand what's going on. But when we're doing it with a pure heart, we know our God always has our best interest at heart. Let us be a sweet savor. Let our lives be something that God looks at and goes, my son did that. And I'm going to bless him for that. My son did that. That's because of my son, Jesus. And that's what he wants to see in our life. Amen.